This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The government is shut down, papers are missing, and the snow is being dumped all over the nation's capital. In fact, somebody turned on the cold weather across the country. And in California, they're concerned about mudslides, although they might have dodged that one this time around. She didn't dodge it. Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, in trouble. Do we care as Americans? We should. I'll explain why. Plus, an earthquake off the Maryland coast. Luckily, it was in the fours. Let's start with the shutdown. There is no deal that is on the table at this point. The federal workers who should have been paid on Friday weren't paid, includes the Coast Guard, and to me, equally as scary, TSA employees. So we're starting to see a lot of them call out, about 8%, close to 8%. And in Atlanta, for example, you're seeing long, long lines. If you're going to Atlanta, pack your patience. You could be in a line for 2 hours plus. 800,000 federal workers, that's the big giant number, furloughed or working without pay. And the president has said, he said this on a conference call with supporters, we're going to be out for a long time if we have to. We'll be out for a long time. He said people are very impressed with how well the government is working with the circumstances that we're under. But behind the scenes and on the Hill, it's that payday that looms, losing more pay that's scary for so many people, even people backing the prez on the whole idea of having this wall and getting the funding for it. So there was a lunch with the press at the White House as part of a strategy to build support from what they call centrists. Are there those? Centrist Democrats and newly elected freshmen, including those from areas where the president is popular with voters. But none of the House Democrats took them up on the offer. No leftover cheeseburgers. None of that kind of stuff happened. So there were other Republicans that came up and had lunch. They said they're going to try again later this week to do a bipartisan group of lawmakers, the problem solvers, caucuses, what they're called. And the president urged supporters to call the offices of Democratic lawmakers to press them to support the wall to reopen the government, because he says he's not backing down. Mitch McConnell, who's the Senate Majority Leader, let me throw in his two cents. He doesn't want to waste the Senate's time. He's only going to bring up measures that the president will sign into law. Democrats, he says, have turned Trump's wall into something evil, and it's time to get the country off the political carousel of the shutdown fight. So I don't think that we're going to see anything happen anytime soon. And it's almost as though everybody is kind of sick of this high drama, especially preparing for some kind of a long shutdown, but I really do think this is going to be a lot longer than was initially projected. Let's put it that way. In Malibu, if you lived there, lucky you, I guess, in a sense, if you didn't have your house catch on fire a couple of months ago. But now there was concerns over mudslides. And mudslides, as we saw a year ago, can not only take lives, houses, everything else, but just appear all of a sudden, and it's too late to get out anywhere, and the mud strangles you. So they had these mandatory evacuations, knocking on doors in Malibu and Ventura County, the Woolsey Fire. Get out is what they're telling people, you know. When the next round of rain hits Southern California, if it's heavy rainfall, mud and debris, we're worried about it, and it sends it into the Pacific Coast Highway, look out. So anywhere where there's steep slopes, drainage areas, any of that kind of stuff, that's where people will find themselves evacuating, I guess, let's put it that way. They even closed schools knowing that the rain was there, so they weren't going to take any chances with that. So they shut down Thousand Oaks schools and Oak Park and all the canyons that are out there, and they set up these evacuation centers just to be prepared in case the unthinkable happened. So we got shutdown day 26, Malibu in danger, evacuating some of the peeps because of the potential of mudslides. And then it was May Day for the Brits, a historic defeat of the Prime Minister's wishes over there, toppled. Will she survive a no-confidence bid? The Tory rebels vowed to back the PM in a crunch vote after there was a move to topple the government with this record defeat of her Brexit deal. It was one of the worst slams in history as far as the UK is concerned. The defeat by 230 votes was the biggest for a government, outstripping Labour in 1924. So you got to go all the way back to the 20s. That tells you something. Jeremy Corbyn, who would be the head of the opposition, called a vote of no confidence in the government in a bid to force an election. So we'll see if that happens or what happens there. She's clinging on to 10 Downing Street, as they say, after the Brexit deal was just completely crushed. Completely crushed. The PM has Northern Irish allies, and there's some backing there and some backing in a few other places, but it's not looking great because that is a huge, huge margin. What does it mean? It means the EU, are the monetary system, are they getting out of the European Union? Are they not? What happens? And that's what this Brexit thing is about. So pro-EU factions seized on the outcome to push for a second referendum. They think it's going to be a huge setback. The pound rose against the U.S. dollar and the euro. Markets concluded that the UK's departure from the EU has become less likely to happen. So, you know, plunging the Brexit process further into chaos would be if they have these senior parliamentarians. Bottom line is this, is what you care about is that sentence I buried there. The pound up against the US dollar and the euro, they're saying that basically it's less likely to happen because we care about the monetary systems and our allies and what happens. You certainly don't want them to be thrown into chaos because that is not a win in any way for us. It's not. So however it shakes out, the key thing is what ultimately happens in England with the monetary system, and if there is another election, what are we going to see from some other PM, and who would that be? There are some people that are eyeballing it. Let's put it that way. How about this? This is something that I'm going to talk about on the flip side. You know, we talk a lot about numbers. How often a day are you looking at a small screen? And what is that doing to your eyes? Oh, it's brutal. You're gonna be, maybe you won't be stunned by the hours a day we look into these screens. I remember when we didn't even have, remember when you had Pong, you didn't even have games you could play? There wasn't these tiny computers we were walking around with that we don't even use as phones anymore. Crazy. Stay with me. See you on the flip side.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials,
special.
Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
The survey says that researchers have concluded that the average adult logs on 6 hours, 43 minutes of total screen time a day, or 7,956 days over a typical lifespan. Wow, that is insano, isn't it? That means about 42% of the time you're awake, you are staring at television, smartphones, computers, tablets, whatever the device is. That is, I don't know, maybe it's not a shocking number, but it can't be a great number. What's going on with our eyeballs when we're watching these screens so much? It's got to make you feel, and plus it's got to make you feel, I don't know, a little bit lethargic. I'll just tell you this, like staring at screens for me, after a while, I got to get away, man. I do. I take breaks. I don't know about the rest of you, but I take breaks, unscheduled breaks for my eyes. How about you, Andy, the technical maestro of America tonight? Can you stare at a screen, all these screens, forever in a day?
Kind of.
Don't you feel lethargic after a while?
A little bit. Yeah.
You do?
But
I think it makes you tired.
What can you do? It's Minnesota. It's winter.
That's right. So you're basically in an igloo, and you're always inside. And in any kind of a cave, the man cave, the igloo, or at the studio, you're going to be staring at a screen.
Yep. It's either that or clean or build something in my garage.
True. All right. So I'll tell you, when you go to take the eye test, if you want the cheat sheet, I have it for you.
Thanks.
It's IEZXY. I was thinking about that the other day. Why do people struggle when they do the eye test? Like, if you can't see it, you can't see it. But for some reason, it's like failing a test. And well, I'm guilty.
You know, another one that we don't think about very often is how much louder people listen to music nowadays. And I wonder what that's doing to everyone's ears.
Oh, no, I think it's brutal for your ears. They have these special earplugs for everybody listening that somebody just got me. Well, actually, the Hubs got me a pair of them. They're called Eargasms. And what you do is you put them in. They're just earplugs. But you put them in and you can still hear noises, but it takes the volume down a little bit so that you don't completely destroy your hearing. Because it's like anything else. You don't think about it when you're younger, then you start to age. I don't care if you're 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you start to move up. And then what Andy just said, that damage to the ears has to affect you. It just has to. All right, speaking of being affected, we've said this number a ton. You already know it. It is day 26, rolling into day 27 of this shutdown, and there's no movement. So that's your number. That number's going to get deeper. I predict it's going to be 40. By the time we see any kind of movement, I hope not in many ways, because build the wall and figure it out and get these people back to work and get them their checks. The 800,000 federal workers missing the checks are people that really can't afford to be hanging in the wind. So they're relying on, thank goodness, their community, their families, whoever, to try to help get them through it. But when you have a bunch of bills, creditors just don't give you that many breaks. Here and there, maybe, but, you know, not that many. Now, we were just talking about screens, and it made me think about this story that I've talked about a bunch, the fact that what our shoes can do for us now, everything's about apps and being able to connect really quickly. Nike has unveiled their first self-lacing smart basketball shoe. So check it out. The Adapt BB, it's called. It's $350. It laces itself. It uses a power lacing system called Fit App. I'm not kidding. Where you can adjust to find the perfect fit. Boston Celtics star Jason Tatum's going to wear the Adapt BB on Wednesday night when the Celts play the Toronto Raptors. But what it can do, it uses that system I explained. It's a mobile app. They've got a custom motor and gear train tightener, or it loosens to customize whatever your foot is. I get it. I do. I get it. But it's so crazy if you think about it, right? Self-lacing. So he's the guinea pig. We'll see how he likes it. The shoe is going to be available February 17th. He says he's already tried them, of course. He says it fits like a glove. It's better than laces. There's no movement. It's secure. So they obviously had to work on this. They can't charge $350 if it's completely bogus, but you've got to charge the shoes every 10 to 14 days. There's a pad that comes with the shoe. So that's another thing you got to charge. You got to remember, oh, my shoes, man, my shoes. I got to charge my shoes. I don't know. The whole idea of charging the shoes for me, like I walk every day 3 miles. And if I had to be charging shoes, I don't know how that would go for me. I'm going to say it would be tough. I'm going to say it would be tough, probably, right? All right, let's move into something else. And that something else is this, and there's a ton of things directions we could go. But like I said, it's about the numbers. So let's stick with the numbers for a second, and for this whole segment, in other words, and talk about some other numbers. And this is a big one. Carol Channing was huge in her day on Broadway. And how long ago was her day? She has like music that lived on forever. She's known for Hello Dolly, but 97 years old. She died of natural causes. That is a life well lived. When somebody can be in their 90s, had relatively very few things that happened to them, and they pass away of old age, that is a person that has lived a very, very good life, I would say. You know, other people might say, ugh, would you want to live? I have a lot of people say this to me. Would you really, if you could pick a number, would you want to live into your 90s? What kind of life would that be like? Well, she was an icon. She had people that were surrounding her. She had, you know, she definitely had people that paid attention to her. She wasn't stuck away alone somewhere. And I guess that's the answer to the question, what would your life look like? How many of your friends would be long gone? And that, I think, is probably the hardest part of the aging process for a lot of people, family, et cetera. You know, ultimately, who's there? Who's there at the end? And is it, you know, just people that you've met along the way as you've aged in every single decade? And I guess that's probably the answer to that, is that's probably most of what happens there. All right, let's take on something else with numbers. And these numbers are interesting, but I was reading this thing about El Chapo, who he paid a $100 million bribe to the ex-Mexican president. How about that? $100 million. So the drug lord, the former president Enrique Peña Nieto in 2012. And that's what his former secretary alleged in testimony, saying that, yeah, $100 million. That bribe, you know, in October of that year was after he was elected, but before he took office in December. So what does that tell you? Woo. And at one point, I guess, he paid the government $250 million. And, of course, there's denials all over the place. Peña Nieto has denied taking bribes from Chapo for a long time ago. This guy was one bad drug lord. And, you know, come on, there was corruption riddled all over the place. And that just, again, brings that up and shows that, you know, absolutely brutal. All right, I've talked about this story once before, but you might not have heard it. And this really is sad to me. This is a guy that I covered for many, many years as I was doing a version of sports for KRLD, which was the flagship station for the Texas Rangers. So this is, you know, it's always shocking when you hear these stories. The ex-Yankee who won, was the MVP, won the World Series with the Yankees, then was a Texas Ranger, is being accused of sexually abusing a boy between ages 4 and 6. He's 52 now, and this happened from October 2004 to October 2006. He was arrested on Monday. He posted a $25,000 bond, and the victim claims to have been assaulted by him when he returned home from work trips. Oh, boy. He's accused of forcing the boy to perform a sex act on him on three separate occasions. And Wetland is a born-again Christian living in a suburb of Dallas at the time, serving on the board of directors for the Calvary Chapel Church in Katy. Wow. Sad, sad story. Stay with us. We're lighting things up. We're talking about comedy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
William Barr is President Trump's next pick to be the next Attorney General of the United States. He's testifying before a Senate Judiciary Committee today. He was asked how the American people should think of the Mueller investigation.
I think that there were allegations made of Russian attempts to interfere in the election. And as I understand it, Mueller is looking into those allegations.
British Prime Minister Theresa May suffered a tough defeat Tuesday as British Parliament overwhelmingly rejected her Brexit deal with the European Union. A dejected May has words for the Parliament.
It is clear that the House does not support this deal, but tonight's vote tells us nothing about what it does support.
May's withdrawal agreement went down by a vote of 432 to 202. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee at Auto Bay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95. And their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Around the room, I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room, in the whole wide room. And when you're on the street, depending on the street, I bet you are definitely in the top three.
So we're talking about humor, and it's funny, when you say the word humor, it means different things to different people, I think. I think a day without humor, to me, is like a day without 10 cups of coffee. Casey McNeil joins us now. He is so funny. He is a radio and TV personality, a speaker. He's open for many legends, a comedian himself. Again, just has an incredible body of work. He's been in a ton of movies, so I know that you have seen this face. But we're speaking to him. This is audio, so you're going to have to go and look him up. And it's a handsome, funny guy. Casey, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to be here.
So, humor. This is such a broad question, but when someone says, hey, what's funny? And that's a tough question to answer. What do you say?
Well, essentially funny, I think, is when, I mean, there's different libraries in the school of what is funny. And basically anything that makes people laugh is funny. But there's a few common things that they determine about it. One most particularly is when you have a line that's like a punchline, so to speak, that refutes assumptions that are made by the story that set it up. For example, something happened to me last night. Middle of the night, this crazy woman starts pounding on the door of my hotel room. So, you know, I had to get up and let her out. And so you see, now this is an example of why when you have a punchline that refutes the assumptions made by the setup, whenever there's surprise involved, something funny happens.
Right, right. I love that. Well, that's like reverse engineering. And you know what? It takes a big brain to do that. It's tough. You got to sit and think about that for a couple of seconds. So it's not what's obvious head on. It's doing what I call reverse engineering. And what you say is, you know, turning around the assumption. And people have certainly made a great living on that, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, indeed, indeed. And that's the thing. Basically, when you can bring surprise into an element that actually works the left and right side of the brain together, they say, and it's sort of in the middle where you get the joke, so to speak. So your brain is functioning in its highest form when you laugh and get the joke.
So when you speak, let's just take speaking, for example. When you're out there speaking, you speak to different groups, and you're Mr. Funny, you get it. How do you know what's appropriate? How do you know what will most likely land at a, let's say you had a corporate gig?
Well, you know, this is sort of a published thing to do. They say feel out the audience, you know, which in and of itself can be very fun, although illegal in some states. when you understand what it's going to be, jokes that have a target that is sort of well-known subjects of commonality, but targets that aren't going to be harmed by what is said, which is why they always say making yourself the butt of the joke can be great, but when you're trying to be a subject matter expert on the stage, that can be tough. So when you want to take something in hand to make a joke about it, it's nice when you can take something that's not too hot of a topic. You know, like at corporate gigs, you know, they always want you to make jokes about the CEO. Not a good idea. You know? They will. They go, oh, he loves it. He loves it when you make fun of him. Yeah, maybe he does, but I'm not willing to bet my paycheck on it. So
right. You
got to use things that are subjects that have commonality. People can identify with it. That's why we get that element, oh, it's funny because it's true. You know, if somebody can identify with something, that's great. Then when you can add that surprise element to it that makes it funny, also great. So I think that using subject lines that have to do with the topic that you are speaking on is a good idea. And they're not that hard to find. Everybody's got their own personal stories, and you can also look some up. And as long as you're quoting a source, you know, it doesn't matter. Funny is funny.
Yeah, funny is funny. I like that. Yeah, I think there's generational humor, though, too. Millennials, what they might find funny, and you might disagree with me, could be very different from an older crowd, a gray-haired crowd, that, let's say. Do you think so?
Yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, for example, the kind of jokes that'll play on a cruise ship for the blue hairs of the world, so to speak, to me, it's a lower-hanging bar. It's lower-hanging fruit. It's a much easier bell to ring, so to speak, than with the younger folks because they've been raised on Family Guy. So, you know, in a cartoon like that, you could tell every joke in the universe in 25 minutes, you know, and make it funnier than somebody standing there trying to deliver the joke to you singularly. So they like everything immediately. They like everything fast, and they want it to be funnier than the last thing that they heard. So they are tough.
That is tough. I'm just thinking right now, that's making me sweat as I sit here and think about Family Guy and what he's done with that animated character and that and the direction that that goes in. You're right. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's almost like how humor used to be, right? It was that 1, 2, 3, that kind of rhythm that if you went to comedy classes that they taught you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so while I've seen that and I've said, well, have they eliminated the need for individuals to stand in front of people and make them laugh, gratefully I have found the answer to be I don't think so, because there are still plenty of people, Louis C.K., you know, lots of guys out there that still work in front of people and still make them laugh, and people will still pay to see them, and, you know, everybody wants something to be funny. You've got the what's in it for me when somebody gives a public speech. You got the what's in it for me thing. Then you have the WIBF, will it be funny, you know? It's sort of like a radio station that you're not necessarily looking for in the morning when you're passing through the radio stations on your car, but when you find it, you're really glad that you did, so you tune in. So humor, I don't think, hurts any presentation aside from, you know, announcement of layoffs and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, but otherwise you can use it. Yeah, fair game. I think it kind of cuts through sometimes whatever it is. Like you're saying, it doesn't matter what it is you're talking about. If you're an expert on whatever subject, there's something about humor, and you mentioned it about the two sides of the brain, getting in that really the sweet spot is the middle spot and people getting it. And do you just know, for you especially, right, because you've done this for so long, what's that feeling like when you know you've landed it?
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world, and it's one of the reasons why I recommend strongly that anybody that speaks in front of audiences have humor ready, have a humorous story, a humorous anecdote, a joke that comes from a book even, or something like that. Because when we all get the joke, people connect with you in a certain way that you know that we're all on the same page. You know you have them. I don't want to say you have them where you want them, but you have them where they want you. You have them right where they want you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you connect in it in such a profound way.
Yeah, boy, so true. So would you recommend that speakers, anybody listening, that they take improv or comedy or something to get themselves maybe a little looser or thinking a little differently?
I strongly recommend that somebody have coaching and mentoring mechanisms at their disposal. If going to a class is works well for you, try it out. You don't know if it's going to work well or not work well until you do it. If you're scared, you know, that's good. Scared is good because you're going to be scared when you do anything humorous or when you stand up in front of people or any other thing. So embrace the scared and go for it, because telling a joke when you're scared is one of the greatest things in the world, especially when it works out.
Yeah.
So I say yes, go to those classes. To the degree you can do classes, if you can have a mentor that you pay, a coach, somebody that helps you with it or listens to what you do, that's great. There are also great books out there that's not so much the, you know, how to write comedy and how to write humor, although those are also there. There are books on quotes for speakers, stories for speakers, humorous anecdotes for speakers. And you can find these sorts of things online. But if you go into a bookstore and actually look at the resource section, I like the way books are organized for these because they're topically related. Like, these are jokes about time management. These are jokes about office politics. These are humorous stories about communication. And these things exist so that you can actually access something to get on that plane with other people. You don't have to be a professional stand-up comedian. You don't have to feel like you're stealing other people's things. You're using tools to help entertain your audience to keep the presentation fresh.
Yeah. You've done TV, commercial work, of course, film. You know, you were in Dumb and Dumber, Independence Day, Stephen King's The Stand, Mobsters and Mormons, Spotlight. Of all of the, and this is a tough question, but let's say of all the movies that you've done, what was the best set that you were on?
The best that I was on was actually on a movie called Stronger that I did with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tatiana Botswani. I'm brutalizing her name. She's from the Orphan Black. She's probably her best friend, the famous Orphan Black. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays the true story about the man that lost his legs and the marathon bombing. No humor there. But on this particular set, I remember going on the set and I had to pretend to eat a meal for about 4 hours. In Panama, it was like I had to pretend to eat this meal. And we were put in the set in this restaurant place. And often they sit us someplace before they take us to the actual set. But we were in the set and didn't realize it. And then they brought the food out. And there was a gal sitting next to me, very nice, had like 12 cups of coffee empty around the bottom, talking very chatty and that sort of thing. And it turned out to be Tatiana. And, you know, we didn't know. You're not meant to talk to the big power stars, you know, unless they talk to you. But she was really nice. It was awesome. And aside from that, making made-for-TV German movies have been my favorites.
I like that, German.
Seriously, they film made-for-TV movies that are made for German TV. The set is meant to be New York. They film them here in Boston.
Wow.
They're my favorite sets to work.
Speak any German?
I don't speak German at all. They speak English. They speak German and a quantity German and English. If I have any line that gets post, the post-production edits put my words in German. So I don't know. So there are American actors and German actors and actresses. So there's two or three famous German actors and actresses, and then the rest of us are all Americans around it. But they're very nice. The crew treats everybody on the set like they're the same, whether it's the big star or the guy who, you know, holds the mic.
Love it. Casey McNeil, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kate.
I am a disco. I am in the Taco Bell. I am a disco. I am in the gates of hell.
Mo Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Suggest that someone as qualified and respected as Merrick Garland doesn't even deserve a hearing, let alone an up or down vote, to join an institution as important as our Supreme Court when two-thirds of Americans believe otherwise? That would be unprecedented.
There, my father, who ran the smallest of small businesses from a room in our basement, took me with him as he made the rounds to his customers, always impressing upon me the importance of hard work and fair dealing.
The president has spoken, and he nominates the man you just heard, Merrick Garland. The big question, who is Merrick Garland? If you talk to super conservative Republicans, they say too liberal. If you talk to super liberal people inside the Beltway, which I did today, they say not very liberal, somewhere in between. But the bottom line is this. Will he get through the Senate nominating process or get booted in the end? I think we know the answer to that. I'm going to let you all chime in. 855-266-5283. 855-266-KATE here on America Tonight as we traverse through the nooks and crannies. Joining us now, he's in our virtual green room, legal and constitutional scholar Byron Henry. He's with Schieff and Stone He is a partner in the appellate law section of that law firm, with this practice focusing on the areas of business litigation and civil appeals, by the way. And as I said, he is a constitutional scholar. Perfect guy for us to have on the show. Byron, thanks for coming on.
Great to be with you, Kate.
So you heard the announcement. What was your initial reaction?
Well, brutally honest, my initial reaction was that the nomination by President Obama of Chief Judge Merrick Garland was a basically sort of a sacrificial lamb type, so to speak, because President Obama does not believe that the Republican Congress or Republican Senate is going to relent and actually hold hearings. Therefore, he picked an older, more moderate, more difficult person for Republicans to argue against and make it very political, very difficult for them politically in this campaign season with the presidential election coming up, without going to the young, ideologically liberal stars on the bench that liberals can draw on. If Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, he basically puts someone out there that's less liberal, older, he's white, he's a white male, and therefore, you know, if he doesn't get through, that's fine. He still has a good job on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals as chief judge, but it did not throw one of the more up-and-coming stars of the Democratic Party on the bench to the wolves, so to speak, to just kind of die on the vine in this bitterly fought presidential campaign year.
Yeah, absolutely. And the president had considered him before, but ultimately the two appointments he had, or the nominations he had, went to Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, not in his direction. So this was a way to come back. And as you mentioned, he is the chief judge for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. In fact, he was appointed, people might remember, by Bill Clinton in 1997. So what is the upside, I suppose? Let's look at it from two different angles. What's the upside for the Prez in doing this? Is he kind of saying to the Republicans who were putting it out there that this isn't the time to nominate, there's not enough time left in the year, and this should be really the job of the next president? Is it kind of saying to them, no, I'm the president still, and I'm going to do this?
Well, I think it's more than just that, because the president certainly has the constitutional authority and discretion to nominate an associate justice, even if it's the last day of his term. So he can do that. I think what the message really is to the Republicans are, you say you won't even hold hearings, you won't even consider a nominee. So what I'm going to give you is basically the prototypical consensus nominee whom both Orrin Hatch and others in the Senate, Chuck Grassley and others, have commended on the floor when he was nominated in the past for the Circuit Court of Appeals as being very moderate, as being distinguished, as being brilliant. And so therefore he's going to basically call their bluff, so to speak, and say, okay, I didn't nominate a firebrand. I didn't nominate someone with a past. I nominated a career prosecutor, public servant, just an all-around well-respected jurist with no negative marks in his record or in his past. And let's basically see you not even consider a nominee that you would have begged for 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I was right after I was reelected. And I think that's really what this is about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Garland said today was, fidelity to the Constitution and the law has been the cornerstone of my professional life, that it's about the Constitution. As somebody who is a constitutional scholar, is that true?
Well, I mean, certainly, let's put it this way. All terms are relative. Moderates, relative, dedication to the Constitution is relative. Every Supreme Court justice would say, liberal or conservative, they're dedicated to hewing close to the Constitution. The issue here is, this is not going to be about Chief Judge Garland. The issue is not about his ideology or his credentials, because the Republicans drew a line in the sand, I think smartly on this occasion, by the way. They drew the line in the sand before the nomination was made, so that they could say, honestly, it didn't matter who was nominated. They weren't going to hold hearings. And they're basically invoking the Biden rule that basically says, if we're in a bitterly fought campaign season, presidential election year, in the last year of a president's term, we are not going to basically throw a nominee to the wolves, or we're not going to have that bitter confirmation fight in that kind of a campaign season. And basically the president said, okay, I'm going to give you a nominee, the most conservative or least liberal nominee you could ever hope to get from a President Obama or a President Hillary Clinton, and see if you're going to stick to your guns.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch this happen. Do you think it's going to be a short process or a long process? And, of course, I'm asking you, looking at crystal ball, I think it'll drag out maybe a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, that's the easy answer, since I've already gone on record in a lot of forums saying I believe the Republican Senate is basically pot committed on this, meaning they're all in with all their chips to the middle of the table. They're not going to hold hearings. They're not going to do the courtesy round that is typical of all Supreme Court nominations. They're not, so there is nothing to drag out. I mean, will it drag out in the public, meaning will there be calls to do for the Senate to do their job and quit violating their constitutional duty? That's going to drag out as long as the nomination. So there is no process, because the Republican senators, Mitch McConnell in particular, who controls basically the floor of the Senate, and Chuck Grassley, who controls the Judiciary Committee, have said there will be no process. Nothing is going to start, so nothing will be dragged out.
Yeah, just in the media and in the public.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Byron Henry, thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
You're sure welcome, Kate. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Good stuff. So you heard him say he's right. They threw down the gauntlet at the beginning. So if I'm a strategist, that is the right move to make, because the chances of doing the let's just have the show, let's just do the circus, even though we're going to say no, 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 is really not that good. I said at the beginning of the hour, 1,000 to 1, you know, come on. So the White House keeps pushing that he has more federal judicial experience than any other Supreme Court nominee in history, because he's got 19 years on the D.C. Circuit Court, and you know, that's really considered the second most important court. And if you look at the investigations that he's led, the case against Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh certainly was one of those. You know, it's interesting, because somebody said to me, well, wait a second, don't just necessarily assume that. If Garland succeeds in getting the seat of Justice Antonin Scalia, he would be the rival to Scalia's very, very colorful writing style. So, you know, that's considered to be, as somebody said to me today, you know, look at some of the cases that are up, and look what he could be a part of if he were to be nominated. But to Byron Henry's point, it's not going to happen, because if they've said, if the Senate Republicans, you know, Mitch McConnell coming out today, we're not going to do it, we're not going to have the hearings, then it's not going to happen. They control that process. In fact, coming up, we're going to let you hear what Senator Orrin Hatch had to say. And you know, Byron mentioned this. If you go back to 2010, when it was Justice John Paul Stevens, they were looking for a successor, Orrin Hatch, Republican senator, called him a consensus nominee. So now, what is Hatch saying about this nomination and this process? Has he changed his tune in 2016? Find out on the flip side.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.